verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow, speaking about Jesus Christ, does not cast out devils but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thought and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand, right? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. So in these verses there, you have two kingdoms presented to you. Okay. You have Satan and his kingdom. How shall his kingdom stand? And then we have the kingdom of God and the other. In our fellowship, we've been looking at the information from God over the last little while. And information, there's a lot of information out there in the world, lots of information. And there's some information that's just merely factual, right? Like what time is the bus going to arrive, or train or the plane leaves. It's just factual. It has no bearing on anything. It's just information that you need to know how to add 3 plus 4. And then there's other information that is has other background behind it, and it's spiritual information. And from what we've seen in God's Word right here, that we live in the natural world, right, the physical, natural world, but there's a spiritual world out there. And in that spiritual world, there's just two options. There's two kingdoms, okay? There's the kingdom of God, and there's the kingdom of the adversary, the kingdom of the devil. And clearly here, something had occurred which involved the spiritual kingdom. Jesus Christ had cast out a devil spirit, and people got upset about it. So it's important to understand these kingdoms, because the information that we receive out there may come from one or another kingdom, or it may be totally benign. And, you know, people out there in the world are interested in spiritual things. There's some people who are interested, and they pursue it different ways. You know, some pursue it by going to a church, or some pursue it by going to spiritualism. They might go to a seance. They might go to an astrologer. But clearly people are looking beyond the natural, right? A lot of people want to go beyond the natural realm to make some connection with the spiritual world. Now, so we already saw right here very quickly that in our pursuit of spiritual things, there are two options available. Okay. Two options available. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 16. You're familiar with this. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture God breathed. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. It's the scripture that gives us right doctrine, gives us the right information. So if we're going to learn about spiritual things, you want to learn them from the scriptures. That has to be our source to understand spiritual matters, because the information, as we're going to see, that's presented in the world concerning spiritual things may be right, may be wrong. There's a lot of words people use today out there. You hear them every day on TV, amongst your friends. People say things that they don't even really maybe think about what they're saying. Maybe you can think of some of them, but I wrote a couple of them. Like, it was meant to be. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard that? Mm-hmm. Never, right? All the time. It was meant to be. What does that mean? Does that mean there's some invisible force that forced things to happen a certain way?
It was meant to be, but it's a term used, and that's not a natural term, right? Can't explain that with physics. So it's terms out there. How about knock on wood, right? How about God's in charge? Ever hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, I can't read my writing. That's not one of the terms. I can't read. it'll be okay. How do you know that? As luck would have it. Good luck. This is my good luck charm. The circle of life. Now, even in the physical realm, in the people who are scientists and everything, you know, who don't really want to, who want to deny the spiritual, they have come up with terms that are just more scientific sounding, but they really are still spiritual, like the parallel universe. You know, back in the 1300s, they might have called it the other world. Right now, it's a parallel universe. That we, there's something goes on, and sometimes we cross domains. It's a totally made-up term. You can't prove to me there's a parallel universe. And on it goes. You can probably think of a lot of things. But those are things that are, is information that is coming that addresses spiritual things without whether people know it or not. So you have to be cognizant of that as believers. In Matthew chapter 4, let's go there.
Verse 1.
Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So you see a confrontation here. A opposition to Jesus Christ's life. He's being tempted by the devil, right? And his response, of course, is to go by what the Word of God says. Okay. He responded with the Word, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That was his response.
Like we read from 2 Timothy.
God's Word, every word of God is given by inspiration of God. That's what's profitable. That's how you handle things. And then the devil takes him up into a holy city and sets him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Whoa, 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 whoa. Now you have information coming from whom? Devil. And what's he quoting? The scripture. Wow, that's kind of interesting to know about the other kingdom. The other kingdom may just present information that we know from the scriptures. It may be presented to you. And so, does that mean now every time I hear somebody quote the scripture that what they're saying is the truth? The scriptures? That's a caution, right? Jesus Christ presented with the scriptures that he now had to consider. And Jesus Christ didn't say, well, that's a good idea. You're right. I believe that. I should jump from this. Everything will be fine. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. There's more to just quoting scripture. There's an understanding that we need to have. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil takes him up into an exceeding high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaves him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So we have opposition between the devil, Jesus Christ, and some of the angels that ministered to Jesus Christ. You know, there's two kingdoms, again, presented to us here. And Jesus Christ did not respond with anything other than what the Word of God said. That's an important lesson for us when we're dealing with spiritual things. What does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God say? Right? Not by using our own our own knowledge, but what does the Word of God say? Ephesians chapter 6. But clearly, there is a conflict between these two kingdoms, and as we see here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in whom?
Lord.
The Lord. And in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we've seen he's a wily character, right? He can quote scripture. So put on the whole armor of God, which is the word of God, by the way. For we wrestle not, verse 12, against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wickedness in high places. What's the repeated word in here?
Against.
Against. So do we have opposition?
Yep.
Absolutely. And it's opposition against the believer, those faithful in Christ. It says we're going to have opposition. And is the opposition flesh and blood? No. The wrestling is against spiritual wickedness. Now, we may see it in flesh and blood. It might be a person presenting them, but what's behind it all? It's spiritual, right? So I really want to handle the spiritual things with my five senses. No, I don't. I want to, prayer was a great thing to have, because prayer is a connection to the spiritual that God sanctions, his kind of prayer. And I don't know everything that goes on in the spiritual kingdom, but God tells me that one of the things I can do is pray for our leadership. Whether I like them or not, whether I agree with their principles, I can pray for them, right? Because God's word tells me that's one of the ways in which I'm going to be able to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That one of the ways it's going to be available for me to do that. Spiritual. So, there is a conflict going on, and now, you know, this is a sobering subject, right? And people may think, and out of like a little bit of maybe trepidation or something, a person may not want to think about this. Okay? But let me ask you this, you know, if you're in a situation of danger, don't you want somebody to tell you, be careful? Recently we had a lockdown in our street area because there was a guy who killed somebody, and they put that information on the. So what do I do? Ignore that information and say, oh, these guys are just, you know, they have no, they, you know, I'll be brave and just forget about it. No, I listen to information that might be important to me. Right? When we were in India, when we were young kids, we were attacked by Pakistan, and one of the things they made you do was put shades on your, you know, windows, so that you wouldn't have light going out. So if people were bombing, you wouldn't see you. Information that was for our benefit. Okay. So while it's sobering, it's good to have that information. And we have been, the mankind has been in the midst of a spiritual warfare since Genesis 1:1. The earth became without form and void because of the fall of man, right? Well, it's Genesis 1:2. The fall of the adversary, and then we're in that spiritual warfare. So God tells me, here's a good way to go. If I'm in a military situation and I'm walking through a field and it's been labeled with mines here and here, do I want to just ignore it and walk wherever I want? Or I might say, okay, there's a mine over there, I'm going to walk this way. Information that helps me to go. So God tells me something in the Word of God that is, maybe I don't understand why I have to walk that way, but God tells me it, maybe I have to pay attention to it. Maybe I don't understand why there's a flag over there, but I have to listen. So this is this, you know, there are two kingdoms. That's why we have to pay attention to the scriptures in order to be able to deal with them. In Matthew chapter 9, and aren't you glad that we know these things? Aren't you glad that the scriptures have revealed this kind of information so that we don't go and pursue things that are not going to be good for us?
Yeah.
You know, I may not like what I see, but I can't ignore it. Matthew chapter 9, verse 32. As they went out, behold, they brought unto him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitude marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. Mm-hmm. But the Pharisees said, he cast out the devils through the prince of the devils. It's amazing, right away, again, after this deliverance, the attack was upon Jesus Christ, accused of being collusion with the adversary. But here you see a very strong manifestation of the devil, where the person was possessed, controlled by a devil spirit, right? To the point where that control led this person to being dumb. He couldn't speak. That's what the possession led to. This was a very bold, apparent thing that you could see in this person's life. We couldn't see the source of it, but it was manifested in his life. And when this devil's spirit was cast out of him, the person was able to now speak. Okay. Opposition. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Was Jesus Christ in agreement with this devil?
No.
2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 11, it says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So, is he going to try to take advantage of us?
Yes.
You betcha. He's going to try to take advantage. So, it behooves me to know that he's got some devices. What are those devices? I'm going to go on Google this and find out what those devices are. Satan's devices. On Google search and find out what they are, or where am I going to go? The scriptures, right? All scripture is God breathed. That's where I want to go to understand some of this stuff. People in the world are going to think you're crazy even believing in the devil. So, some people. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It says in verse 14, and no marvel, or don't be surprised, don't be amazed, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of what?
Light.
Light. Yeah. So, warning, everything that comes from the spiritual realm may not be from the true God. He's transformed into an angel of light. We already saw him use scripture or try to use it against Jesus Christ, right? So if you look in this whole context of this thing, how does he do this? How does he present stuff? How does he present himself as an angel of light? Well, in verse 13 it says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So is everything labeled Christian? Christian? Well, good to think about that, right? Because labeling things one way doesn't make them that way, does it? You know, you've seen food labels that are misrepresented, right? When the term natural food first came out, man, they started labeling everything natural, right? Everything was natural. Now everything's gluten-free, including cardboard, right? So it's, you know, because there's an association, well, gluten is bad, and so therefore cardboard is gluten-free. It's good. But anyway, so it doesn't change it. And so Satan transforms into an angel of light. In verse 3, it says, "But I fear lest by any means that the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if we receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him." The Corinthians were accepting all kinds of stuff that was coming at them, you know. And they said, "Well, you're putting up with way too much." And another Jesus is much more skillfully concealed than if he was to come and ask you to worship Baal in today's culture, maybe, to a Christian. Worship Baal versus worship another Jesus. Okay? So a person may be tricked by that, a Christian believer. So again, how are we going to know this? The scriptures are going to tell us the truth. That's why we have to come knowledgeable of the Word of God if we want to stay out of these bad situations, you know, where we get tricked by the adversary. And I often, personally, I know the most I've ever been tricked by are people purporting themselves to be Christian believers and rightly dividing the Word of truth. So, warning, not everything coming from the spiritual realm is from the true God. Revelation chapter 12. I'm so glad to know this, you know. Like, not for an instant do I ever consider having my palm read, right? Going to an astrologer, going to a seance, reading the astrology tables in the newspaper. I don't think about that. Why? And I don't give credit to luck when things go right. Oh, what a lucky day that was. Really? Who's this luck? What is he? He's something that controls life. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." So he's Satan, the serpent, the old serpent, the devil, he's an accuser, and it says he deceives the whole world. Do I want to then accept every piece of information that's out there? Oh, let me have it. You know, we're living in the, quote, information age. There's a lot of information in 2 seconds you can gather on your phones and everything. It's always accessible. Do I want to just like, you know, I'll just accept everything that comes my way? Or do I want to maybe be a good idea to check it? I'm suspicious of information in the world, like, because not because I'm paranoid, because the Word of God tells me, be sober, be vigilant. It doesn't tell me just accept everything. It says to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. So I'm vigilant. You know, I try to my best to learn the Word of God so that when I see information, I can say, does that sound right? Especially when it's somebody quoting the Bible. In Mark chapter 4, I want to show you this record. The Word of God shows us some very interesting truths. Mark chapter 4. Again, you're familiar with this. In verse 1 it says, "And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land." Were there a lot of people there?
Yep.
Absolutely. Okay. "And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and it, because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, you know, if you're in the audience, and the multitude is there, and you might be scratching your head. Why is he giving us a lesson in agriculture here? You know, what's he talking about? Everybody knows when you plant seeds, you put them into a ground, you know. And so there's a multitude of people around him, and Jesus Christ, his challenge to them or whatever was, he that had ears to hear, let him hear. Okay. Do you want to know what I'm talking about? Do you want to know any further? And let's see how many of these multitudes decided to hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sin should be forgiven them. Now, so is Jesus Christ being picky with the people he decides to help? Is he deciding, well, I'm going to help these people and not these? I don't want them to have good information, so I'm going to hide it on them? Or is he, he's offered this to everybody, but only a few of the 12 and a few that were with them, that were around him, are the only ones who are asking him, what did you mean? What did you mean by that parable? Okay, they had ears to hear. They wanted to know and understand. They came to him for understanding. And then he said unto them, Know ye, verse 13, and he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower sows what? The word. This, we're talking about the word of God here. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan takes his time and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. No. Satan comes how soon?
Immediately.
Immediately. To try to rip that word of God out of a person's heart. Okay. Is he after the word of God?
Yeah.
Is he after the word of God in your life?
Yep.
Are you have you been in the word so long that he's still not after the word in your life? Or maybe you're new to the, you know, few years, 20, some years, some younger. Is he after the word in your life? Absolutely. And who's telling him? Why is he after the word? Because you know that's where our deliverance comes from. And if you don't know the word, you can hide. There is no devil. Where are you going to learn about the devil and Satan and the adversary and his devices? From the word of God. And if he takes that away from you, then all of a sudden he can hide down and take advantage of you, right? So he comes immediately, takes away. The target in your life is the word. That's what he's after. That's what he wants to take and rip out, and he'll do it one way or another. And it's not always by force. It's presenting other information as light. Look at this option. Doesn't this sound nice? Look at this option. But always skirting around the word of God, the truth of the word. And then he says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Wow, that was a great teaching. And have no root in themselves. And so endure but a time afterward when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Why is this affliction and persecution arising?
Because of the word.
Yeah. So it's again an attack. It's indirect. It's, you know, not ripping it out of their hearts, but now it's like, let's put some pressure on that person. Will they now still believe what the Bible says, or will they now start cursing God? You know, like Job was tempted to do, and he never did, right? And all the bad things happened to him. So the affliction and persecution, but the end goal of the adversary is still to rip the word out of that person, right? That's the goal. Because the persecution is arising not because they don't like them, It's not they don't like their gender. It's not because people don't like the color of their skin or people don't like, you know, what country you're from. The reason the persecution is rising against these people who have believed the Word of God is because of the Word that they know. That's why they persecute. Do we wrestle against flesh and blood? So it appears that way sometimes. But it takes a while for a person to realize and believe that we are, there's a spiritual kingdom, a spiritual realm out there in addition to the natural. And the spiritual kingdom, there's two options. And it says in verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So this time, the cares of this world is a different type of thing. It's not pressure, but it's like, you know, well, maybe it's pressure, the cares of the world. How am I going to pay these bills? How am I going to handle this situation? And the cares of this world and deceitful as riches. Maybe I'll pursue riches. You know why riches are so deceitful? You'll never get enough, and they'll never satisfy. And the lust of the other things entering and choke the word, again, the attack is on the word. And it becomes unfruitful. And there are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. So they hear it, and then they receive it. They take the time to, hey, what did you mean by this, Jesus? What were you trying to teach? Explain it to me. Help me to understand. They hear it and receive it. And then they're the ones. Each person is responsible as an individual to have root in themselves, to get rooted in the Word of God. You know, it's not a forced thing in a believer's life. The adversary we see is the one who does the possession, right? He's the one who does the controlling. He's the one who does the manipulation. God never does that. God never manipulates anybody. He doesn't try to mold people. He doesn't try to shape them. He presents the Word of God to them, and he says, do you have ears to hear? And then you have the choice. Yes, I want to hear more. I want to understand more. Let me pursue it so I can get rooted in it. And we're going to finish off in Acts chapter 10. Verse 38. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus Christ was on God's side, or God was on Jesus Christ's side. And the opposite side was the devil, where the oppression, all the negatives came from. And here you have Jesus Christ going about, sent by God, doing good, delivering people, bringing people the deliverance that God has to offer time and time again in all different categories of life. He went about doing that. Because there's two kingdoms. And Jesus Christ is clearly on God's side, and God is on his side. Sent by God. And then there's the other option where the oppression and all the devilishness, all the bad things, all the things that come from the persecution, the affliction, all those things that come from the other side. There's two kingdoms. And we cannot ignore them. So, there's a natural realm that we live in, and there's a spiritual realm. Okay? In the spiritual realm, within that spiritual realm, there are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God, and there's the kingdom of the devil. And we do not want to deny the existence of the spiritual realm, you know, and say, oh, it doesn't exist. And by the same token, everything that is not spiritual that we hear, or spiritual nature, is from the true God. And the Word of God is what we want to ground ourselves in. That is the true test of what information is out there. What is it? Which kingdom is it coming from? And that's what we want to root and ground ourselves in, to believe, so then that we can have the deliverance that God promises in his word. So, let's get grounded in it. Right? Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful word. And Father, we're so thankful that we have the word to go to. Father, how Blessed we are to have been taught your word so that we can know these things and avoid ourselves from the devices and the snares of the adversary, and by the same token, get all the blessings that you have made available through Christ and enjoy the goodness that you show.